Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy.
Oh, look, it's been a rough go of it for the Seahawks. MLB currently in a lockout, but we're going to try to have fun today because it's Friday, my personal favorite day of the sports radio week. I'll tell you why.
Friday.
We take callers. We open up phone lines. We're doing that at 1 p.m. I will give you the number to call. I will give you the question at 12:45. We've got some awesome guests, regulars, of course, John Clayton, the professor joining us, Michael Bumpus, both friends of the show. We've also got, again, my personal favorite moment of the week, and there have been two of these this week, though I was not present for the first one. I hear it was really tough for you guys. Our weekly quiz, weekly trivia game show. I need to figure out a way to make it to where one of you, you two face off all season long. Every single week that the Seahawks have their opponent, we have a preview. It's to help you guys, listeners, fans, get ready, right, for the game.
Yeah.
But the difference is that that Curtis and Jake back and forth answer questions about everything we've learned that week.
Yeah, there's a rumor going around that Curtis Rogers has been waking up in the middle of nights in cold sweats over the past week.
Just Curtis?
Hillary Swank!
Oh, man.
Washington.
Boy.
Is that true?
Oh, man.
Look, I will neither confirm nor deny.
That's
where he lost.
If you missed it,
he lost.
These go to tiebreakers. The tiebreakers, I always try to do a little bit of a wild card. The tiebreaker for this past one against Washington was, is this celebrity from Washington State or Washington, D.C.? And Curtis mistakenly forgot Hillary Swank, not a Washington, D.C. native.
I don't think I forgot. I just didn't know.
No.
It's not something that's ever crossed my path.
The only reason I know Hillary Swank is from here is because I think I'm from SeaTac, and I feel like I remember someone saying she grew up near there.
No, that's not true at
really?
All.
That's not true.
She's from Bellingham, I'm pretty sure.
Bellingham. Yeah. Oh, those are very
You know,
very,
I get Bellingham and SeaTac confused a lot.
Is anyone
kindred
from SeaTac?
Spirits, you know.
They're sister cities, I think.
I know. I think someone's got to be from SeaTac.
Sure.
Someone somewhere.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
You know, I was really hoping you guys would get to Bill Nye. That was the one I was excited for. Bill Nye, you would think is from, I don't know why, he's got so many weird local ties, but no, from Washington, D.C. I thought you guys would get stumped on that one.
Oh, I would have for sure.
Well, anyways, we got another one today. It is going to be Niners, 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 Niners. I can never say it as quickly as Curtis can. Very excited for this one. So it's going to be a fun day. We will have fun. That is my determination.
Okay.
Today. Okay? It's happening.
Big if true.
First, though. First, let's talk about something. You know, I'm going to say, I was going to say not so fun, but I take it back because these conversations are fun to me because it's open for a little bit of a debate. It's an open-ended question here, which is, which Seahawk needs a strong finish to the season in the worst way?
I mean, you could point to a lot of different people, to be quite honest, in terms of who needs a strong finish. But I mean, the most obvious one is staring us right in the face, and that's Russell Wilson, right? I mean, I don't think there's anybody on this team that needs a bigger finish than Russell Wilson heading into the season and to finish this out, and it's part of for the team as well. It's the impact that Russell has, not just as an individual, and why does he need to have a great finish down the road, but it's for the team. The team needs Russell Wilson to have a strong finish down the road. I mean, Stacy, is there anybody else that you would look at and say that they need a strong finish to the end of the season?
Yes, and for a different reason than how I started. So if you were to ask me in August, hey, Stacy, which Seahawk needs a strong finish to the season, I would have said, number one, Jamal Adams. Because Jamal Adams, he had a great first year in Seattle, but you wanted to see a little bit more. He was waiting to get an interception. He had knocks on his coverage grade, and so let's see if he can improve that. Now I want him to have a strong finish to the season so that when the Seahawks inevitably pick in the top 10, the highest that they've picked in like a decade, that pick feels less bad because Jamal Adams will have a couple sacks. He'll have maybe another pick. You know what I mean? Like by the end of the year, you'll be feeling like, well, you got Jamal Adams as part of this really great core of players moving forward.
Sure.
Like, you kind of need to feel that way when you're staring at the Jets with, like, back-to-back, you know, like 5-6 or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, I would definitely agree with that. Another person that comes to mind, honestly, is Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll needs a good final six games. I mean, he needs to finish strong and needs to come back and be able to say in his post-game press conferences more than just, I don't have the answers. I don't know. I keep saying the same thing over and over again about the issues and the struggles that we have. And I think for Pete Carroll, I think that part of it is important, that he's coaching his coaches, that he is getting the most out of his players, that he is, in part, a reason why this thing is turning itself around. And you can look at the defense and say, hey, well, they're doing a good job. They're doing their part. But, you know, Pete Carroll's also got a heavy hand in what's going on the offensive side of the ball as well. So I think that part of it is important for Pete Carroll. He would be another name that you could throw out there as well, who needs a strong finish in these final six games.
Yeah, I think right now, ultimately, I do land on Russell Wilson first and foremost, and for that we're in agreement, because I just think that not only do people in general, including myself, have short memories, but what the team needs more than anything heading into the offseason, there certainly won't be playoffs, is momentum. And I can't think of anyone who can provide more of that than Russell Wilson. Like, no. Like there is no single player on this team, and that's the nature of the position, that can provide more momentum for 2022 than if Russell Wilson suddenly plays really, really well.
Yeah.
And if the opposite's true, you're heading into an offseason where you have people really at odds about how to move forward.
Yeah, and I think that part of it is, in terms of the conversation, yeah, it becomes really, really interesting, because, you know, you could say, hey, Russell Wilson's my guy, and you move forward, and you want the organization to build around him, which I think there's plenty of evidence of star quarterbacks that have struggled who need new change and are sparked because of that change in recent history. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, are two names that you could point to in that direction, but it certainly doesn't make it comfortable. It certainly doesn't make it feel well, and you could see why people would be like, well, maybe you need to move on, and maybe it's better for everybody to have a fresh start in that situation. But regardless of that, I the thing that worries me, Stacey, is I agree with you fully, but I am worried about the ability for that to happen.
For Russell Wilson to play well to end the year, why?
Yeah. Yeah, I am worried about that, because it goes into not just Russell Wilson himself. Like, he needs to help himself out, obviously, by being more accurate, by letting the game come to him. And if things aren't going well in the game, in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, not trying to force the ball and trying to make something happen, you need to see him just trust himself and just play and let things come to him, and just, you know, you want to see him be comfortable again, right? That's number one, and that's something that he can do to help himself out. But the other stuff, I mean, Stacey, I mean, you know what's not good for a quarterback that's struggling in an offense that's kind of in a tailspin
not
right now?
A run game?
Not having an offensive line that's playing absolutely
having
horrific. Like, you know, it's bad when Ray Roberts came on yesterday and he couldn't defend it. It's not that Ray Roberts is a homer for the offensive line, but
he
always
sees things other people don't.
He does, and he always has a reason, or, hey, here's something that they can do. He had no answers. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, he was just at a loss of words.
I also think, though, that people can – now, I think that there's a gray area in between when you can't tell whose fault is whose, but I do think that fans are able to watch and say, Russell Wilson is improving. This is not his fault with certain things. Like, if Russell Wilson gets sacked in literally a split second, mm-hmm. how is that Russell Wilson's fault versus Russell Wilson overthrowing Gerald Everett?
Right.
That's a bad throw, Russ. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I do think people can pick apart. I don't know that this team's record will improve. I don't know that Russell Wilson's stats will dramatically improve.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people will be able to see Russell Wilson himself is improving, even if things around him don't.
Okay, well, that if you break it down that way, then I believe that Russell can show that. I really do. But in terms of this offense coming to life, and this offense really getting a spark and being able to generate 30 points again, you know, to finish this season, I don't know. Like, I am really worried about the state of the offense and the fact, are they on the same page at all? I have no idea. I have no idea if this group is on the same page in terms of how what the solutions are to fix the problem, how to go about it, and hitting the right buttons at the right time to get your offense and to get your quarterback into a rhythm.
Not to interrupt, but since we only have 2 minutes, when you say they, you mean Russell Wilson, Shane Waldron? Do you mean
Pete Shane Waldron, and Pete Carroll.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And really, I think about it from a Pete Carroll, Shane Waldron perspective. So are they on the same page? Are they working together well to be able to make that happen? Because, you know, Pete Carroll is very involved in the offensive game plan right now. And so I just think that when you're talking about that aspect of it, I am concerned about that. But I do agree that there is some aspect of, look, Russell Wilson, can he be more accurate? Absolutely. We know he can. And we all want to see that. We want to see him look more comfortable and more confident. And so, you know, one of the other things that you turn to and you point at with Russell Wilson in this process, and as I've said to you many, many times, mm-hmm. is that he looks like he's somebody that is not comfortable and is pressing. And in those situations, sometimes when you compound stuff, it becomes hard. And his personality is, I want to fix it. I want to get through the problem. I want to work through the problem, which is great. But to me, here in cut number three, getting back to something as basic as this, guys, is something that was encouraging for me to hear.
As a leader and as a person and guy who gets to help lead this football team in the midst of everything that's going on right now, the thing that I think about is joy. You know, you can't lose joy in this midst of this game and midst of everything that we're doing to bring joy to the game, to bring joy to the field, to bring passion, to the mixture of joy and passion, and to be able to do that every day gives you the best chance to be successful, but also allows you to remember that this is a gift that we get to do.
So why is that important? Why is Russell Wilson talking about joy being important?
Because it's the holiday season?
Yeah, it's the holiday season. There's no doubt about that. But when you get caught up in this storm, it is really, really hard to find joy in what you're doing. And ultimately, when players are playing at their best, it is because of that. It is because that they're having fun doing what they're doing. They have great perspective, that they aren't pressing, that they aren't trying to make things bigger than what they need to be. And for me, that's a big part of it, is that I think that Russell's got to settle down in some of that stuff and be able to realize that what is going on right now, the struggles, the mounting pressure on third down to perform and to do better, and to obviously the whole world knows that that is an area that he has struggled with specifically, to just settle down, relax, and go play the game, go play with joy, go play with passion, be who you are, and good things will come of that. And sometimes, and I'm speaking from experience here, by the way, someone who has struggled mightily in my career and who at times it just felt like the world was on your shoulders because you knew that things weren't going right. You knew things were bad and you're just doing everything you can. You're working hard. You're doing all the right things that you're supposed to be doing. And it's just not coming together, that you put and start adding all that pressure into yourself psychologically, that you take yourself out of it. And that is the one thing that obviously you want to see happen here. And it's got to happen in order for this offense, for this team to play better. So obviously in these next six games, Russell Wilson's got to play great, Stace.
Let's ask the professor, John Clayton, what he thinks coming up in 15 minutes. Don't forget, you can listen to us on the go or catch up with the show if you miss it. Subscribe to the Jake and Stacey podcast. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Please don't forget to rate and review if you do subscribe. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, I don't think I've ever been happier to read a headline than this
one.
Curtis. The Oklahoma City Thunder set an NBA record last night for worst loss in league history, losing to the Memphis Grizzlies by 73 points. What's the real headline?
73 points? The city of Seattle thinks Memphis could have tried a little harder.
Yeah. You got to rub that
one in. I agree.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, you can't get to 75.
80?
Shoot an extra three.
Come on,
80?
Now.
Yeah.
Took their foot off
Why
the gas.
Don't you actually try?
There is no point margin that Oklahoma City could lose by.
It would satisfy me.
Yeah,
truly.
Exactly.
No, absolutely
yes.
not.
There, nothing. Nothing. But, you know, does it make you happy to see this? 100%.
Yeah. Now,
100%.
Question for you guys. There is no single team, player, coach that I root more against than I root for any particular team that I love. Is there any, likewise, any coach, player, team, whatever, where you're like, this really rivals my own fandom? Like, I almost root harder against them than I do for my own favorite team.
It's Oklahoma City for me.
So you root harder against Oklahoma City than you do for any Arizona sports?
No, I wouldn't say that. But there is no team or player or coach that I root against harder than the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I would say any time that there is a game on with the Yankees on, it's pretty close.
That's
it's not
there.
Quite there, but it is very, very close.
Secondary question. Do you think the average Seattle sports fan hates the Yankees more, just the long history there, or OKC more for very obvious reasons?
OKC.
OKC.
It's not even close. Not close. The other one, I will say, though, in this last World Series, I was rooting so hard for the Atlanta Braves over the Houston Astros. I was rooting so hard
Houston
for the Braves.
I was a legit Braves
fan for a matter of what was how long did it last?
It was
week?
6 games.
What do you mean
six
last?
Games?
It ended?
Week?
I thought you were still a Braves fan.
Oh yeah,
bro.
We're Braves fans till we die.
Till we die.
I'll forever
cradle
be a Braves fan for what
Braves
they did.
Fan. I've always said that. I
love that Memphis was able to beat OKC last night by 73 without their very best player, John Morant. He didn't even play.
Wow.
Looking at the box score, some weird ones. You had plus minus is a stat where if a player's on the court, the team either scored more or less than the team that they were playing. Jeremiah Robinson Earl, who is a forward for OKC, had a minus 56. So whenever he was on the floor, Memphis outscored OKC by 56 points. Lou Dort, a small forward for them,
man.
He had a minus 53.
Wow.
It's a little bit of improvement.
Yeah. I mean, keep those guys on the court. That's what I say.
Headline rewrites.
Big weekend in college football. It's conference championship weekend. What's the real headline?
We're about to watch a lot of games that will factor into the college football playoffs. And also, we're going to watch the Pac-12 conference championship. Can't forget that one. I got to tack that one on there. Don't forget.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, hey. But, you know, this one's going to be interesting just because Utah is the team that ruined it for Oregon, right? So, I mean, although there is not a lot of intrigue in terms of what it's going to mean in the big, you know, landscape of college football, which is just another, you know, hey, great job, Pac-12. Great job in terms of the current state of affairs. And you hope that Lincoln Riley is going to be able to come in and save the day for the Pac-12. But I'm still going to be really intrigued in this football game. I love Kyle Whittingham. I love his toughness of his program and everything that he has built there at Utah. And I would love to see the Utes beat down on the Oregon Ducks
more
again.
More than literally anything. Although it was
be
one
fantastic.
Of our hype trains, do you always root for conference above anything else? Do you root for the higher-ranked team in your conference?
I mean, at this point, it doesn't really matter.
I'll never root for Oregon.
Yeah. At this point, I mean, if Oregon was going into this game number three still in the country and they were set up for that,
no.
Yes, I would be rooting for Oregon.
No.
Yeah, I would.
Against
be.
My better judgment and against how much I complain about the health of this conference. When given an opportunity to root for the health of this conference, I do not. If it's
but
Oregon.
Let's also be honest here. There is probably a good aspect of it that Oregon is not in the college football playoff and they did not find their way in the college football playoff.
Then
because
they brag about it regularly.
No, they would get smoked.
Oh,
let's be honest.
Absolutely.
They would get ragdolled playing Georgia or Alabama. There's no question about that.
Playing Cincy. They wouldn't, but...
Stacey, UW is terrible.
I don't care. What? Let me speak from a place of pain. Look at Curtis. He's an Arizona fan. He's been laughing all year long.
God, that's because I'm laughing through the pain.
That's what I'm saying, man. The basement's nice. I'm enjoying it with you.
It's a nice, cool temperature
it's
down
nice
here.
It's nice here.
God, 1-11. Jed Fish. Miss me with that.
Hey, you guys got some great new hires, man. I'm
do
kidding.
We?
No.
They just hired somebody that
it's
no one's ever
sarcasm.
Heard of. Oh, man. Headline number three. The Kraken return home tonight for a four-game homestand looking to build off their respectable road trip. What's the real headline?
You know what that means, Curtis and Jake.
Oh, no.
My new old slogan is back. Quest for the cup with a C is back on.
Stacy.
Doesn't even make sense.
No, it's
it makes no
cup
sense.
Is, cup is spelled with a C.
Yeah, but the yeah, crack,
so crack is with a K,
Stacy. Yeah, no, I know, but it makes sense because when you think, you don't spell cup with a K. So it's quest for the cup, but then you spell quest
yes,
with a C.
Yes, but literally no one's going to be showing up.
I think I'm going to make it happen. Hashtag quest for the cup with a C.
There's a reason why all of your merchandise, I see them all the time in dumpsters.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
With all this rain, when it washes down onto your roadside stand, coloring fades off the shirts. That's
to,
how
in
poor
fact,
quality
order
it is.
Another batch of t-shirts and sweaters. Quest for the cup with a C. All one word, including with a C.
How much you charging
out
for those shirts?
$29.99.
Wow.
Inflation's hitting us hard.
The best kind of shirts are the ones you have to explain to people what it means.
Yeah.
A quest for a cup with a C. You don't have to explain it. It's in the name itself. That's,
but then people are
going
to be like,
hashtag.
Well, if it's for the Kraken, why isn't it with a K?
Well, no, but then you don't need to do something
Stacey,
different.
Stacey, you're
be
never going to be in charge of
the
slogans.
The Kardashians have already capitalized on making everything with a K. This is something new, something different. The Kraken are getting to the Stanley Cup, and hashtag quest for the cup starts now. That's how I feel about it.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, I'm not going to ask John Clayton how he feels about quest for the cup. I feel like
thank you.
He's not a marketing executive. He doesn't understand. He focuses on football. Okay, that's his wheelhouse. That's what he's looking at. I will be asking him who needs the best finish to the season in the worst possible way for the Seahawks, and we'll also get a little bit of a preview for this upcoming game. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
The Professor John Clayton joins us right now. And as a reminder, Football Fridays are powered by the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook. John, before I get to any Seahawks questions, what is Yinz?
What is Yinz?
Yinz. I don't know. I've heard that some people from Pennsylvania say Y-N.
Y-I-N-Z.
So what are Yinz guys doing?
What?
What are Yinz guys doing?
That doesn't, John, no. This doesn't make any sense. Y'all make sense. You all. It's a brief.
No, it's Pittsburgh. It's like, what are Yinz guys doing? It's like, you know, when you're talking about the different parts of towns, it's like they call East Liberty Celebrity.
So what?
They call East Liberty Celebrity.
This doesn't make sense, John.
South Side.
Oh, John.
Well, while Stacey, you know, is trying to figure that out and digest that, John, how about last night? We were, you know, that game was that was awful. Something, wasn't it?
That was awful. I mean, Taysom Hill. By the way, you see the latest on Taysom Hill?
What is it?
Yeah, with his finger. I mean, the mallet finger. What are they going to do, John?
Surgery, same as Russell Wilson.
What is Sean Payton going to do here?
What's that?
I said, what is Sean Payton going to do now?
Well, he's a former quarterback, so maybe he can play. I mean, he's got Trevor Siemian, and that's about it. I mean, so it's like, and their season's done. I mean, they've lost 5 in a row. They go from 5-2 to 5-7. Alvin Kamara's missed 4 games. You know, how about the idea last night? If you include Michael Thomas from the beginning of the season, 2 offensive linemen, they're down 7 starters, the tight ends out for the season, 7 starters on offense.
Wow.
7. And you know, Jameis Winston blew out his ACL. I mean, they're done.
That's crazy. And, yeah, they are done. And so, you know, John, speaking of Sean Payton, I mean, there's some unique chatter and unique conversation going on, and I'd love to get your take on it. I mean, do you foresee there being any possibility that Sean Payton would not be with the New Orleans Saints next year?
I guess there's a chance. I mean, I know a couple years ago that he really wanted to go to the Dallas Cowboys because, you know, his kids were living in Dallas, and he wanted the idea of doing that. Now, if he's going to go anyplace, there's only going to be one place he'll go to, and that'll be the New York Giants. So there's some rumblings about that if Joe Judge isn't back. Now, of course, the one thing is they're probably going to fire Jacob Gettleman, the general manager. So that could be a possibility. But, you look at the Saints right now, I mean, they're a cap mess. I mean, they were $110, $112 million over the cap when the offseason started. And so they had to let all these players go. So they started the season down 9-10 starters. And then it only got worse from there. And so even like this past couple days, they had to restructure some contracts to stay under the cap.
Here's what I don't like, John. The idea that Sean Payton goes to coach in New York, and then the Giants try to trade for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, well, I just don't see that happening. Because,
yeah, I don't
again,
like that.
No, no, again, it's like, I don't know, Jake, what do you think about Russell Wilson trade talks?
I mean, when it comes down to it, ultimately, I think that there's going to be a lot to evaluate over the season, but... I mean, as of right now, I mean, they're just trying to get through these six games,
right,
Sean.
I mean,
my goodness, they're trying to figure
this
out.
Answer that question.
But I do think they're going to be very prevalent in this offseason, John. Going to be very, very prevalent.
Well, I mean, if Russell's staying here, which I think he still will, and again, you'll know better than I will, because again, you know his feelings better than I do, is that, you know, I still think that they'll be very aggressive. They got plenty of cap room. I mean, even right now, they've got a little less than $13 million under the cap that's still available that can roll over into next year. And they're like about maybe the sixth or seventh most team as far as cap room for next year. So it's not looking like they're going to be a team that's going to be worried about getting compensatory picks in 2023. What it looks to me to do is they're going to try to go out and get some good free agents, which they're going to need to do to satisfy Russell.
Hey, speaking of Russell Wilson, maybe, because it was the answer for both me and Jake, but which Seahawk needs the best finish to the season in the worst way?
Oh, I'd say without question it has to be Russell, because, you know, he's struggled so much. I mean, again, it's understandable. And people, you know, like people were like being overly critical and all that stuff. But when you have a finger injury like that, you can see it affects him. It affects his tempo. It affects everything else. I mean, he's still able to make some great throws. I mean, you can see that. But he also missed some short ones that he could have completed, particularly to DK Metcalf. He overthrew him on about two, three passes to his left along the left sidelines. But I think that, you know, there's no doubt that Russell needs to be the biggest one to reestablish himself and, you know, get better. And then, of course, you know, I don't know about Rashad Penny, because, again, you know, figure whatever happens with Penny, he may play this week. He may not. At least he's not on the injury report. But, you know, he needs to salvage something so he can set up something for next year where to go.
Hey, related to that run game, what'd you make of the signing of Adrian Peterson?
That's not bad. I mean, again, it kind of reminds me of a couple years ago when they brought back Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turbin, you know, brought them out of retirement. And so it's like, I mean, here's a 36-year-old running back who's still big. I mean, he was the first choice of the Tennessee Titans, and when they lost Derrick Henry, and then, of course, you know, they ended up cutting him and going a different direction. But, you know, I would have to think that, you know, if Travis Homer and Penny are going to play this week, then Peterson's going to be more of a look-see for maybe the Houston game next week.
You know, John, one of the other things that has been so shocking in this year is, amongst other things, has been the offensive line and mm-hmm. how poor they've played, John. I mean, what do you make of this group who, for the most, I mean, you look at next year, they only got two guys coming back in Damian Lewis and Gabe Jackson that we know of. I mean, how much of a rebuild job will this end up being?
Well, I mean, again, I think that it'll be a pretty big rebuilding job because, you know, certainly, you know, they're going to be okay with Gabe Jackson. We'll see. They can probably get Ethan Posick at a reasonable price. I don't know if Brandon Shell's going to be back. You know, Dwayne Brown, they've got to figure out. But they need, and of course, Damian Lewis, even this week, may or may not play because he's got that shoulder injury. He didn't practice yesterday, but I know that Pete was optimistic on Wednesday that he should be able to go. But in the end, I think that you know, they've got to, you know, they've got to get some young guys on the young guys or veterans, to, particularly at left tackle, to come in there and do some things.
Hey, John, I was listening to G. Scott and Mike Salk this morning, kind of debating what they think has happened with Russell Wilson, and G said, look, you've got an injury, you've got a new offensive coordinator, and Mike said, no, I feel like it's something else. I don't know what it is, but something has clearly changed. When you look at Russell Wilson, say even going back to week 9 of last year, and you've seen some good moments still, but overall, more inconsistent play than we've ever seen from him. What do you think that is?
I think the way the defenses have played him, you know, because they've gone more cover two. Certainly we saw that in the second half of the season, and we certainly saw it in the Rams playoff game. And that, I think they didn't have answers last year for the cover two. I think they may have some better answers this year. But obviously, when you lose a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback and you lose him for 3 weeks. And, you know, now he comes back with the finger injury and everything else. You know, it's not going to be the same. And it's like, you know, I mean, you go back in history and you look, it's like, okay, Dak Prescott, he gets hurt. What happens to the Cowboys? They win 6 games. A couple years ago, it was Aaron Rodgers getting hurt. What happened to the Packers? They won 7 games. And so now this is the biggest drop off we've seen at 3-8. But what they have to see if they can do is that, you know, get, you know, they got to get plays. I mean, you know, last week they only had 47 plays where they entered a game with 55 offensive plays a game, which was by far the lowest in the league.
Yeah, that part absolutely has to change. It doesn't allow you to have any rhythm. Your time of possession is just in an awful position. I mean, just from top to bottom, it's just been so shocking to see this group be, you know, so bad, John, here. And so it also makes you wonder, you know, what the state of affairs are going to be for this team at the end of the year. So I guess also the name that you could put out there that needs a big, you know, 6 games to finish the rest of the way is Shane Waldron as well, you'd have to think.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. And certainly Ken Norton Jr., you have to think about that. And also, too, I was like, what's your thoughts, Jake, on Pete Carroll? Do you anticipate him coming back? Because I do, but do you?
Yeah, I do, but there it's just hard when you see that, you know, John and Pete have signed a 5-6 year extension, but
right.
I do think there's some legitimacy to it, John. I mean, if Pete Carroll is coming back in every single press conference and it's, hey, I've got nothing for you, it's the same answers, it's the same issues, it's the same problems. I mean, I think that does wear thin, you know, with 6 games remaining. So I do think that is something to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because, again, anything can happen in a season like this. Now, the one thing you know is ownership is going to pretty much stay out of it, because that's just not you know, what Joy Allen likes to do. So she'll stay out of it. But I have to think that, you know, Pete should be back, because, again, it's one season. It's a one-off season. And back to the Russell Wilson thing, if you really look at the team looking for quarterbacks, you know, let's say, for example, it's the Giants and Miami. Other than that, is there a team that he's really wanting to go to? Because all the other teams that would be after him stink.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. And if you look at, like, oh, well, would you go to New Orleans? Well, if they don't have Sean Payton,
or
if he decides to move on, I don't know that you want to. Because if your big beef is like, well, I want to work with an offensive-minded head coach, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Plus, on top of that, it's like their cap situation may not be able to fit Russell's contract in.
Hey, John, we have like 30 seconds, and maybe it's not enough to bring up, but I do want to get back to that one point about defenses kind of figuring out Russell Wilson. I do think that there is like a part to this as far as defenses maybe playing him differently. We clearly saw struggles against cover two, but I also look at Russell Wilson's career and think, you're telling me that like after 9 years, defenses were like, what if we go cover two?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like mostly they were used cover one, cover three, and all those man-to-man type defenses and things like that. But I thought you saw this with Patrick Mahomes. You saw it with Russell last year. And so you see it with a little bit more. There's a little bit more cover, too. It's just a matter of figuring it out and then just getting the accurate passes to beat it.
Isn't that then on both quarterback, offensive coordinator, and I'll throw in head coach also?
Yes, 100%. No doubt about
it.
It's not on Russell. It's not on Shane Waldron. It's not on Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
It's all of the above.
It's just the most frustrating and also fascinating thing, this idea of, like, you guys should be able to beat it. And I believe there's truth to that. It's just wild to watch, John. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
All right. He is the professor, John Clayton. John, thanks so much for joining us. You can hear him every single Friday right here on Jake and Stacey. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
All right, Football Fridays are powered by the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook. Coming up next, it's Bold Take Friday. It is time for your boldest, bravest takes. Jake's, I just want to let you guys know, Jake, this might be your boldest take I've ever seen you have.
Oh, yes. Let's go.
And that's saying something, because some of your takes are just wild.
I'm ready.
Get those takes in right now. 206-421-3776. That is the Mac and Jack's text line. Send them in now.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
Get your boldest takes in for Bold Take Friday. Text them right now. 206-421-3776. Get your bold takes in. Now, I don't mean to brag. Sometimes a bold take is correct. For instance, I predicted correctly that Jamal Adams' first interception as a Seattle Seahawk would be against Aaron Rodgers. And you know what happened, Jake? That. Because I
that was a whole interception ago. He's already had one.
I
get over it, Ron.
Expert. And heretofore, My bold take this week will undoubtedly come true, but I'm going to save it because, like always, here's the structure. Jake, you tell us your bold take. I turn to the Mac and Jack's text line where listeners are sending in their bold takes, and then I share mine. Okay?
I can't tell what I'm laughing at more. One, that you are bragging about your Jamal Adams interception, okay?
Or that which I'm is sick and amazing. I sound like a child yeah. bragging about. Leave me alone. What's your bold take?
Oh, that's great. I laugh because we're both in it together. You and I are both on the same page
for
here.
For Curtis in here, ducking and dodging.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Everyone in the office.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I've messed
Curtis
up.
Curtis is like the Matrix.
Curtis is like Barry Sanders out here
dodging these germs. I'm going to go under my table here during the next commercial break so you guys aren't coughing on me.
Jeez. We would never do that to you. All right. My bold take. Okay. Here we go. We've got our new signing, Adrian Peterson. 36-year-old Adrian Peterson comes in this game and rushes for over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns because Fred Warner is not in this game. Meanwhile, because the run game gets going, Russell Wilson tacks on 3 more touchdowns through the air. Boom.
Don't. No.
Bold
Curtis,
take.
I really thought you were going to let it sit there in silence and not play. Can we have a womp womp?
No.
Well, that's for the old cage.
Oh, you know what we should do for bad bold takes? You know how in elementary school you do
that
recorders?
Is not a bad bold take.
No, listen, it's but you know the recorders? I feel like we should have one of those for bad takes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. And your sound effects, by the way, deserve that because that was terrible.
That's a recorder sound.
Sure. Okay, so you've got such a great bold take. What's yours? Is someone going to catch
That's
over 60
not
yards?
That's how this works. First of all, I didn't say someone would catch 60. I said that 3 separate receivers would finish with 60 or more yards, and they almost did. I was like 20 yards away from that.
Because it's doable. It's totally doable. You got to go bold.
180 yards?
Yes.
Okay, well.
Come on.
All right, well, let me get to the text line. That's how it works, Jake. These are the rules. All right. So from the Mac and Jack's text line again, 206-421-3776, bold take. Stacy's sickness is actually an alien space disease that she got from her boyfriend. Also, that's not how this works, you guys. It's not how this works.
Bold.
Okay. Bold take.
Is Brian healthy? Is he doing well?
He's great.
Yeah.
And real. So thank you for asking. Christian in the 206 says, bold take Friday. This is way too bold for Twitter. Russell Carrington Wilson doesn't throw another interception for the rest of the regular season, and we get back to Seahawks football, win 6 straight, and sneak into the playoffs. Parentheses, don't hate me.
Christian.
There's got to be some kind of realism in your bold take, right? Like,
I don't know.
That seems...
I don't know. Let's do this other
maybe
one.
Maybe a little too far-fetched.
All right. Bold take from the 415. Seahawks get 2 sack fumbles, return 1 for a touchdown, and we shut out the Niners. Hashtag go Hawks. I said bold.
Wow.
I said bold.
Here's another one. That is bold.
From the 253. Bold take, DK Metcalf has 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, and AP has a solid 40 yards.
Okay. All right. Has a solid 40 yards. I'll take that. For DK going from not being targeted hardly at all in that game to going for 200 yards receiving, wow, that would be a dramatic turn of events. Dramatic turn of events. Okay, Stacey, can we get to your bold take? It feels like you're delaying.
Yeah. No, I got one. It's not going to make any sense, but here's what it is.
Okay.
I've got 2 players that we haven't been focusing on enough. Okay? Number one, D. Eskridge finishes mm-hmm. with... exactly 62 yards.
Okay.
And gets his first touchdown.
All right.
And a rushing touchdown is scored. Not by AP. Not by Travis Homer, who might not play.
Okay.
Not by Rashad Penny. Not by Alex Collins.
Then who?
Penny Hart.
Penny Hart?
Scores a rushing touchdown.
On like an end around?
Yes. That's a bold take. That is a bold take. That's so specific. How many yards did I say for DK?
You said 62 yards.
62
exactly.
yards. 62 yards for DK.
I swear, if DK gets exactly 62 yards.
Oh, my God, I'll never stop talking about about it. It'll be so disgusting. You guys think you hate me now? Just wait. I'm going to open the show with that and close the show with that.
Goodness
all right.
gracious.
Oh, Christian says, by the way, I believe what I said, Curtis.
Okay.
It's just very unlikely.
Dee Eskridge has 12 yards receiving.
Yeah, what's
season.
The problem with like quadrupling that? I don't see what the issue is going to be there.
It would be great to see some contribution out of your highest pick of this year. That would be fantastic.
This one from the 360 bold take. Al Woods gets a sack and three tackles for loss. The Seahawks win 17-10. That's a nice healthy
I like that.
Bold take.
That is actually three. Yeah, that is a healthy bold take and a very realistic bold take from the 360. Al Woods had eight tackles last week. So Al Woods getting after it.
Stacey's boyfriend, quote, Brian, has a better chance to score a rushing touchdown than Penny Hart does. I don't know. I think it's just wild enough.
He's got a better shot at scoring a rushing touchdown than Rashad Penny. That's the real
thing. That's exactly your bold take. Curtis, do you have a bold take you want to fit in here?
We got it.
All right.
We got to go to break.
All right. That's fine. I understand. All right. So
I'm still reeling from my Monday night one. I said DJ Dallas was going to get 100 yards and two touchdowns.
No, you did not.
Yes, he did.
Oh, I absolutely did.
He definitely did.
You know what? Sometimes some people, I can't identify, but sometimes some people make bold takes that don't come true. And I feel for those people, but I appreciate and respect them putting themselves out there.
Jeez.
At least I showed up for work on Monday.
Okay. That was Bold Take Friday. You can keep sending those in if you want. I'll try to get back to a couple of them during the show. Coming up next, well, we got four down territory a bit later. Also, the big three needs to change. I'll tell you what I mean by that next.